All right, and welcome to Film Narc. We got a new episode. As you can see, there's someone extra here.
We have a special guest, and we're super excited about it.
Hello.
So, this is Ryan.
Hey, y'all.
Ryan, we have been friends with Ryan for about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Do you have any skills or...
Bo staff.
What is your...
I got bo staff
skills. Skills in nunchucking.
I haven't quite mastered nunchucking yet, but I am working towards that.
Oh.
What, anything that would... What are your resources? Like, give us some, like...
Film background? Is that what you're looking for?
Well,
like, what
some
he's
kind
into?
Of justification of why you would be on a film... Like, why should you... Why are you a good guest for Film Narc?
All of our viewers, you know, my mom, would like to know what qualifies you to be on a show of such prestige.
Because just anyone can be on the show.
I frequent HBO Go and Netflix a lot.
You're more qualified than most
That's
of
pretty
us.
Good.
I'm
That's
done.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, that's you're solid.
That is really good.
All right, well, thank you.
Like, if you watch TV or if you've seen a movie, you can be on the show.
Is there a TV in your home?
good. I think you're overqualified.
I haven't had a TV for years.
It's a little rough. Okay, well, we're going to be jumping into our first topic, which is Thanksgiving and movies. So what this is about is we're going to talk a little bit about movies that are based in Thanksgiving.
And there's going to be so little to talk about that we're going to talk about that.
I know, right?
Yeah, because there's not a lot of Thanksgiving in movies.
No, and Christmas is trying to eat up everything.
Well, it's odd because, like, if you think about any movie that has, like, a holiday background to it, I mean, given that there's a ton of Christmas movies out, but, like, anytime that, like, there's a... like a big dinner, it's generally more towards like a Christmas type vibe. Like I can't think of any of those romantic comedies even that have like, hey, coming over for Thanksgiving.
And when you think about it, that would make a really good rom-com. A Thanksgiving theme where they're like, this is the first time they're meeting the family, but they always do that Christmas style.
Right.
And there's so many movies like that too.
Yeah.
Every day, like, on like Hallmark Channel or Lifetime, there's like a new, there's like four or five movies that you've never even heard of that are Christmas movies, and they're all pretty similar.
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh, I met this guy and we're going to meet one person's family, and there's some kind of silly mix-up, maybe at the airport.
Yeah.
Usually involves the girl leaving the guy.
And Tom Hanks is just like chilling in the background there.
Playing on
her. He does.
He's like standing on one of those keyboards again. He's like, too soon.
No, he's just iMessaging someone the entire time on his America Online account.
No, he's, I'm stuck in an airport again.
This always happens.
He's just in Seattle not
Why
sleeping.
Yeah.
Boy, yeah. There's that insomnia again.
The great thing about the movie Terminal is he actually burnt his mouth on something, so that's why he had a weird accent, and then he had no idea people were filming. So he was just stuck in an airport, just hanging out with a weird accent because he burned his mouth.
That's why that movie was so groundbreaking, because they just filmed Tom Hanks in an airport. Like, nobody knows that he's actually dumb enough that he got stuck.
Yeah. And they're like, he's a good actor.
He just needs to have, like, little...
He's so great.
Little,
based on a true story.
Little icons in each one of his movies now. Like, he burns his tongue on something in his next one, or he's playing with a volleyball on the next one.
Yeah, just do the same thing.
Well,
I don't remember that part of the movie.
Oh my god, they're hitting the same
thing.
So, okay, but you mentioned Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yes, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is actually a Thanksgiving movie.
And which would have to be probably the best Thanksgiving movie. I can't think of a better one.
It's one of three.
And it's really good. Yeah.
What are the other two?
Yeah.
Well, there's Thanksgiving, which is about a demonic turkey that comes back. Actually, pretty funny.
It's like... We've been talking a lot about, because Halloween was, you know, just recent, and we were talking about, like cool, cheesy B-movies to watch, you know, that are really, like, slashery, and that's exactly what Thanksgiving is.
Yes.
And it's really funny and fun to watch. It'd be good to watch with, like, a group of people. There's boobs in the beginning.
Yes.
So don't watch it with, like, you know, a family, yeah, necessarily, with, like, your kids in the room.
And the girl's drinking the coffee, and she's like, this tastes like you pooped in it. And the guy's like, this tastes like you pooped in it. And she's like, that's because I did. And then there's a big piece of poop in the coffee pot.
And nobody wants to see that.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, like, there's always been a Charlie Brown
That's
holiday.
True.
That's
nice.
A good call.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I mean, how did you guys ever watch the Thanksgiving one? Or because the ones that
I've
remember
the
are
it's the Halloween and the Christmas.
I've seen the Thanksgiving Charlie Brown, and it is boring as hell.
Yeah, they have the big, the Great Pumpkin, and then they have the Thanksgiving one, which is great. I love the Thanksgiving.
But I only remember the Christmas
peanuts.
Like you don't go and get stuff situated for Thanksgiving and been like, oh, it's just like that Thanksgiving Charlie Brown movie, but there's a Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
Well,
yeah. You see what I'm saying?
It's interesting because, right, because part of Christmas, at least in my family, we watch Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Like, it's something that we do during Christmas season. You don't get that with Thanksgiving. There's not like a...
Really? Son-in-law starring Pauly Shore apparently.
It is apparently.
Well, of course
a
we don't. It's Pauly Shore. That doesn't count.
I know. What's great is that me and my brothers used to watch that all the time on VHS, and I don't remember Thanksgiving being a part of it.
That's funny.
But, oh,
wasn't
that where they go
like
to, like, the
original
chick's
family's house and he sings Green Acres in the back of the truck? That's the main thing I remember.
I think.
I remember Biodome. Like, that's it.
I think Freebird was like loosely Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah, that was
and
totally
that was a fun movie. I liked it.
That was a fun movie. I forgot about Free Bird.
But I don't know if you would really. It doesn't feel like a Thanksgiving movie when you watch it.
Just feels.
But
more
I mean,
kind of like
the main
movie,
the main thing is that we can all think of a copious amount of Christmas
yeah.
movies. But like we are just trying to grab for whatever we can.
Yeah.
Right. The point is there aren't enough. Like Thanksgiving is being eaten. It's being, like,
nice
consumed and overcome by... Well, I picture, like, an amoeba where it's just, like, completely absorbing
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Where, like, Thanksgiving is now part of Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas shopping is now taking part during right. Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's, like, Black Friday.
Right, but Black Friday has started to open on like Thursday now. A lot of stores start at like 10 o'clock.
But what I'm saying, like, that's when they start shifting from Thanksgiving stuff to Christmas.
Because everyone's buying presents.
And then
for
it's
Christmas.
Even
yeah.
it's even chipping away at the beginning, the week before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
People are putting out the Christmas decorations. They're putting out all that crap.
Yeah. It's annoying, honestly. I like to imagine that there is a mascot for Thanksgiving. I think that's one thing Thanksgiving doesn't have going on for it, is a mascot.
Like,
and a turkey? And I like to think
but
that
it's
there's...
But it's not, like, that's not a mascot. You eat a turkey. What if you ate Santa Claus on like on Christmas? That wouldn't be any kind
no,
of...
Each no,
mall
I like
would
to
be
think of them
pandemonium.
I like to think of the Thanksgiving mascot as Thurman Thanksgiving. And he's like an all-powerful...
Thurman Thanksgiving?
Yes, an all-powerful turkey who chooses which turkeys...
Get eaten?
Get called for. Like, they are, like, he's almost like a goddess type thing.
Could
it's
it
like,
be...
these turkeys live bad lives, so they get eaten.
Could it be like Joaquin Phoenix in Gladiator? With your...
Yeah. Yeah.
With them down.
You know, that could be an interesting
movie.
Yeah,
but he is super depressed all the time because Christmas is always taking his thunder. So he's like, my day's coming up, all right. And it's like, Black Friday sale. And he's like, oh, once again... And then it could, the movie could end in an epic battle between Thurman Thanksgiving and Santa Claus. Just like super 300 style
okay.
action.
Here's a different way to look at the Thanksgiving movie problem.
Hit me.
Christmas has been over-consumerized, okay? It's all about what are you going to buy? They're constantly selling you things. That's something that hasn't tainted Thanksgiving yet.
I still can't find a Turbo Man doll.
But nobody's like, hey, buy all these things for Thanksgiving. And I feel like as a holiday, it's still like family and it's still really important.
I love
and like everyone has right, everyone likes Thanksgiving. It's just not in the media as such. And I think that's okay. Like,
Thanksgiving is like pressure-free Christmas because you don't have to get people
exactly.
a bunch of gifts. You can just be together, hang out with family, and eat. It's awesome. Christmas is all this other
dude,
like, oh, God.
This time
this.
Of year is so busy. Like, not only is there a lot of good movies coming out, but there's just like, it's holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man, you got this huge thing coming up, and then, oh, there's another huge holiday. It's lucky that you get time off usually.
It's just kind of a bummer. I will say, before we move on to our next topic, that there is actually a Thanksgiving 3.
Really?
Yes. Which is about the demonic turkey trying to find out what happened to the unreleased Thanksgiving 2.
That's awesome.
Isn't that, I haven't seen it yet, but it's on my list. But I thought that was a pretty amazing plot device going from Thanksgiving to Thanksgiving 3, which is about trying to find a sequel that was never released.
Okay, a couple trailers dropped recently.
Yes, we're going to be doing a Tale of Two Trailers. Two trailers recently came out that are kind of big anticipated movies. We're going to start with The Legend of Tarzan, starring Alexander Skarsgård, Samuel L. Jackson's in it. There's a scene just straight up of Samuel L. Jackson talking. And Chris had no idea he was in the movie until he watched it a second time.
Which is ridiculous. It's so funny. I think I have, like, this kind of focus. Like, I'm so in the moment that I think a lot of people would think I'm just, like, on drugs all the time. Because there's a lot of really simple things that I don't... I'm not very observant.
Yeah. I like how you did one of those things where it's like, what's your biggest weakness? And you say it, but turn it into a positive.
You're like, I'm very in the moment.
Yeah. I'd say I'm just very in the moment. Extremely focused on what's happening in front of me.
Yeah.
Like,
tunnel vision.
Oh, well, I care too much.
My problem is I care too much.
Yeah. Anyway, so we've all watched it. Ryan, what are your thoughts on the new upcoming Tarzan?
On the upcoming Tarzan?
Yeah.
I think I really like it. I mean, the last one that was out, like, that wasn't a cartoon was the Brandon Fraser one.
And yeah, George and the Jungle.
Oh.
But it's still, it's I consider it a Tarzan. I consider it in the Tarzan family. I think that's fair.
So, okay.
It is a little different because
I'll let it slide.
In George of the Jungle, he, like, goes to the city, too, so it's a little bit different than the Tarzan
story. Okay, yeah.
But
So
it's still, it's in the same vein.
Let's go ahead and back up. So the last one was a cartoon.
Yeah, Rosie O'Donnell as a gorilla.
Yeah, that's
makes
true.
Perfect sense.
Well, and
that's a great... Dude, Phil Collins did that soundtrack, and the soundtrack is good. That's a great movie. And Cartoon Jane is super hot. I think so.
Just move on, man.
We needed a new human-based Tarzan movie.
Mm. Right. Live action.
I feel like it could be more visceral if they wanted to take that story arc that length.
Like a darker type of movie?
Yeah.
Like not some like, violence and fighting? Or
yeah, not like Terminator status, right. Like killing, but like actually allowing the animalistic side of Tarzan to be more showcased rather than like, we don't understand him, we should kill him, or we should study him.
So maybe kind of like a darker in terms of Batman, a little more gritty kind of hand-to-hand, like wrestling, mauling type stuff.
Yeah.
But nothing like overly violent.
Right. Yeah. Where he's like ripping arms off and beating them with him.
What would make this movie better and make me excited about it is if they do that kind of a storyline where it's about the struggle between... He's been raised by gorillas, you know? And I would like to see that kind of like inner turmoil of like, here's my human nature and here's my like animal instincts and trying to kind of like marry the two and have them live in harmony within himself, because you don't really get that struggle a lot like in the Tarzan stories. It's more of this like surface level, there's people like me, rather than I want to kill anything that's weaker than me. Like if you were actually raised by gorillas and like the kind of, I don't know.
Well, the way that you're the way that you're describing it.
Okay.
I think I follow that.
You need to write that down.
Is that it'd be more of a drama.
Mm. Right. Like a little bit darker.
But it would be slower.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't speed it up and then showcase his mental battles that he's having about staying with his natural side or his human side.
It'd have to be equal time, him in society, him in jungle.
Right.
Like they
capture him like King Kong, bring him to the...
Very King Kong-y feel.
Bring him to New York.
That trailer is super King Kong.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be as good as King Kong. It looks like King Kong was done by Peter Jackson in the Weta Workshop in this like incredible... He is good with monsters. He is good with practical effects and doing CGI, but it doesn't look overproduced.
Yeah.
That trailer looks overproduced. It looks like...
I completely agree.
You have this opportunity, but they're like, it's pretty clear that the gorillas aren't like puppets. They look 100% CGI.
Yeah.
A lot of the shots of Tarzan, he looks like he's just all CGI.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard. It runs the risk of being something like some of the Spider-Man movies where all of a sudden, like, it's a cool movie, and then, oh, this is the part of the movie where there's nothing real.
Or the one random close-up of his face.
Like, if you don't do Tarzan right, it can end up being a lot like Spider-Man, because it's like, oh, he's, like, swinging on his web, and he's swinging on vines, you know, and just, like... So, it could be really good, but when I saw that trailer, it was, like, a little bit, ooh, this looks like it's going to be... A little too CGI.
This is where I'm at. The CGI was definitely something that stood out to me, where I feel like it could take you out of the movie. It kind of took me out of the trailer.
Yeah.
But also unnecessary action sequence. That's what I don't want to see. Is like they're in the jungle just randomly, and then there's a lot of action in that trailer. Like he's fighting against a gorilla, which I'm assuming is to like establish dominance of the pack. Which is a cool idea. I like that. But then it shows him like jumping off of rooftops to collapsing buildings and stuff, and it's like, what in the hell is
there's
happening?
A lot of like tribal people fighting in that?
Like
where did they come from?
I'm really concerned that it's going to be something to where it's like, I'd say Bruckheimer has this issue sometimes in his movies where it's just like, alright, we're walking along and oh no, there's a train that we're on for some reason. Oh no, now part of the tracks have blown off because gorillas played with C4 and blew up part of it trying to get rid of the human.
And that tends to happen in overly CGI movies too, is like they throw in all this action because, oh,
we're like, people don't want to hear about a guy wrestling with his inner human side and his primal side. Let's just put in some stuff blowing up.
Well, that's why it reminds
me
of a Michael Bay film.
Yeah.
It looks to me like a Transformers or something like that, where it's like lots of explosions, lots of action, but there's really not a lot of heart.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, this is a trailer, and it could be really good. You know, it's funny, sometimes trailers look really bad and the movie's really good, and also sometimes trailers look really good and the movie's really bad, so it could go either way.
Well, and also, like, the way you guys were like, him fighting a gorilla, like, that could be he starts loving Jane, and then the gorillas are wanting to try to kill everybody that he's now, like, packing with, and that's his defense to, like, saving Jane.
Right.
How he became
the which is the traditional Tarzan story.
Yeah.
You gotta be careful. If you're not careful with Tarzan, it ends up looking like a, you know, West Side Story or Romeo and Juliet kind of a story, you know?
Because
you got the warring humans and the gorillas but
that
and
scene
Tarzan
in the trailer where Tarzan
alone.
Was like...
yeah.
Really, it gave me some bad time.
When you're half man, half gorilla, all the way to your last night and day.
Okay, so let's move on, because we're getting short on time. But let's jump into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. That trailer dropped, and my head just about exploded. Chris, what are your thoughts on it?
Okay, I'm excited about Ninja Turtles. We went and saw the first one together, and it didn't receive...
I was expecting
it. People didn't like
it
critically, but I enjoyed it. I thought its one saving grace was that they did a good job with the Turtles, and this new movie looks like they're going to do the same thing. It looks like...
In the second one, they're totally downplayed.
Okay. Yeah, because the lips are the thing that, like, my biggest... it was like, they look too human.
Yeah.
Oh.
And if you look at the trailer, they've actually reduced a lot of the lip stuff. The turtles are different sizes. They have different heights amongst each other.
Yeah, they're still
huge, though. Yeah, but
which
they don't have the
like,
human
actually.
Lips. The noses are a little fixed. And also, Donatello, on one of his wrists, has a Super Nintendo controller attached to his...
Right, which he actually uses, I think.
Yeah.
But anyhow...
That was cool. Anyway.
We liked the first one, and a lot of people didn't, because we're big Ninja Turtle fans.
Yeah.
I'm a big Ninja Turtle fan. I'm really excited about Bebop and Rocksteady.
Oh.
And it's funny to talk about Tarzan like it's overproduced and then talk about, because like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is the exact same thing, and it actually is Michael Bay.
Let me cut in.
Okay.
Because this is why. This is why it's different. Because Tarzan, you want to see an emotional story, right? It's dark. That's the tone they're going for. If Ninja Turtles was going for a dark, super dark tone, which you kind of felt that way in the first movie, but once you watch it...
When we're saying
the Turtles,
first movie, are we saying the newest?
The newest.
Yes.
Okay, because if we're going to start talking about the first one,
We're not talking about the originals. That's the thing. As soon as you start talking about the originals where they use, like, animatronic puppets.
This is pretty awesome.
Well, they use actors plus robotics on top of their costumes. It was like...
It's always... The new one isn't that good, and they're never going to be that good. Those movies were really good. The third one, but the first two were great.
I'm willing to go out on a limb and say Out of the Shadows looks like it may become my favorite Turtles movie. For a couple reasons.
Including
the first couple.
Oh, man.
And I'll explain why. But they almost took the Turtles too serious in this last one that they did.
Okay.
Right? I mean, they did the Turtles character great. The interaction between them was fantastic. Megan Fox should melt in a hole somewhere because she's awful and it's the worst acting job she's ever done. And I'm tired of seeing her. Besides that...
I think Michael Bay,
Shredder was like a Transformer, which was weird. But the action set pieces were really good in the Turtles movies. They were really engaging. They were really like...
They were exciting. Whoa. And they made it look really cool.
Yeah. But in this new one, it looks like a soft reboot. Because it looks like they're like, okay, so we did the beginning stuff. That's done with now. Let's have some fun.
And you get Bebop and Rocksteady,
which I called out. I was like... I'll only see the second one if they bring out Bebop and Rocksteady.
And I love Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yeah,
dude. Bebop and Rocksteady are
That just goes
awesome.
To show how much fun they're looking to have. They're bringing in Casey Jones. Yeah, they have the Turtle Van, which I had a toy of, that shot the sewer lids.
Yeah, that's
and
true. I had that
shooting
too.
Sewer lids. That's like, so that's where I feel like I'm going to connect with this one so much more, because it's going to be like watching myself in my room as a kid going... Oh yeah, let's get Bebop and Rocksteady.
Yeah,
and being the Turtles and having that fun, seeing it,
and you could like put stuff in their shell backpack thing. You know, I love those action.
Oh man, like it just looks like they're taking the idea and going more the cartoon route and going a lot more fun. It looks like Dimension X is going to play a part in it, which means that I'm sure we'll see Krang in this movie. It just looks.
It would be
so fun.
You know that Tether would probably end the second movie.
Yeah.
With that, Krang coming
the
out.
The scene with Rocksteady coming out of the tank when they're in the river. And then Michelangelo goes flying off and Raphael jumps and flips and grabs Donatello as Rocksteady's shooting the tank and he's doing this. He's like, yeah, like this thumping. I'm just like, dude, that is just so awesome.
So Ninja Turtle.
I can't wait for that. That's going to be so great. And Bebop friggin' like belly-to-belly suplexes someone in the trailer.
Yeah.
When you see him like run through and charge him, he grabs one of the turtles and just flings
the
him.
Reason,
oh, I saw that one, yeah.
The reason this could work even better than the first one is because the material they're using, they're not doing an origin
story. And there's ninjas they're fighting, not the militia.
But Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, lends itself, like, it doesn't ruin it to make it cartoony. Because it's... In its, purest form, it is a cartoon. It's a comic book, so...
Tyler Perry does play Baxter Stockman, which I'm pretty sure at the end of the movie he's going to turn into the Fly.
Tyler Perry
no.
is actually a good actor when he's not being crazy.
Yeah,
so
when he's not killing his career like Eddie Murphy by dressing up like an overweight woman.
When he's not playing like four or five different characters, hopefully.
I'm Tyler Perry.
But yeah, I think that'll do it for right now. We're going to take a break. You'll hear from a word from our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
All right, it is my privilege to tell you about a sponsor that I'm really excited about because I like... Well, you know about fantasy football, and everybody's playing fantasy football. It's really big right now, but not a lot of people know that you can play a lot of different sports, and I've been waiting for that. And what I'm really especially psyched about is my curling team. I got Fantasy Curling. It's this new company called Canadian Sports, Canadian Fantasy Sports. Nothing special in the name there, but I got John Benton on my team, and he has been sweeping the heck out of that ice, don't you know? And I'm really psyched about that. He got me a few points in his last match. Also, Dan Ducros is one of my bowlers that I have. He pushes the stone, and... Dude, he's been knocking them out, knocking the opponent's stones out of the circles, and my fantasy team is doing good. You can come in, you make your team, if your team does well fantasy-wise, you get money. It's a great little system they got going on. Check it out. It is Canadian Sports Canadian fantasy sports. So, you know, get on that, you guys. Really exciting.
What's going on?
We do an intro to our segments.
All right, so we're starting back up, and we are going to be starting off with Irrelevant. It was such a hit last time. A lot of people liked hearing us angry.
Did they?
Yeah, actually, they thought it was really funny. The three people I showed, which they weren't for me, so I made them listen to it.
Right. So, which is brilliant. That's how we get most of our
Yes, our that's action. How we get three of our four views. Thanks, Mom.
All right, subordinates, sit down. Listen to this entire thing.
I wasn't able to get any of yesterday's work done. Okay, but did you listen to my show?
Whose name is on your paycheck?
All
Watch
forgiven.
The show.
No, I'm not that important, dude. They're not like... I just do the same job as them.
But you have authority over them.
Well,
right?
Like a little bit. Not really. Sort of. I can delegate to them.
It's more of a friendly thing.
And they have
to
listen,
or
I get to kill them.
Yeah, it's just a deal you have.
Yeah, it's just a deal I have.
I don't know you're irrelevant, and I'm still not really
my
sure.
My irrelevant, I didn't really have one pre-planned, because I have so many things I'm angry about. So I'm just going to go off of one of the first things I can think of, which is beagles.
The dog?
The dog, I hate them.
Why?
I'll tell you why. Okay. I hate beagles. Because if someone was like, hey, I have a beagle, do you want to come over and see it? I'd be like, oh, frick yeah, I want to see a beagle. And I'd go over and they'd have this stupid little dog sitting there that I feel like I could beat up if I was a dog. It's like this weak little thing, and it is nowhere close to being an eagle bred with a bee. It is the dumbest name for a dog that you can have, because it's totally misleading.
That would be hugely disappointing if I envisioned a bee that had somehow managed to impregnate an eagle, or vice versa.
Eagle body, eagle wings, also with bee wings on the more center back. And then
so double wing action.
Six talons, a bee head with the pinchers.
Yes, it needs a bee head.
Yes.
I agree with that.
And then on the end of the eagle body, you don't have like the bee butt, but you got a big stinger hidden within the feathers. So it's kind of like a secret.
It's hidden,
This sounds like the most vile creature.
Dude. It would be amazingly epic.
No, well, it would be cool, but it would also be incredibly dangerous and very frightening.
Yeah, instead you got the Wayne Brady of dogs.
So I'm assuming...
I like Wayne Brady.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone finds Wayne Brady threatening. That's my whole...
Assuming... He's a white black man.
Yeah, Wayne Brady stopped you in an alley and he was like, give me a wallet. And he's like, here, throw some words at me. I'll make a song out of it. Wait, give me your wallet.
He's just so charming.
He's just like,
my wallet, Mr.
Hold on.
There you go,
hold on.
Mr.
So
Mr.
I'm
Brady.
Assuming that the beagle, the bee and eagle, is not a killer bee, but a honeybee. Or not a honeybee.
Could be a honeybee, yeah. It needs to be like a wasp or something. So that way it can sting repeatedly, because honeybees, their stingers fall out.
But then the honeybee, the one, like the fuzzy yellow and black one, right?
Yeah.
No, that's a bumblebee? Honeybee?
Bumblebees
are
like really fuzzy. Honeybees have a little bit of fuzz, I think.
Those are the ones that you always find.
Yeah,
like,
they're the big fat ones that are...
No, the bumblebees are super
bumblebees,
fat.
Yeah.
Honeybees are... they look more like a bumblebee than they do like a yellow jacket, but they're still not like...
You guys are getting in the way of my rage.
Right, which is you are upset that beagles are just
named beagles.
Small, cute
we're
dogs
over,
instead
we're
of...
We're over-analyzing
So
the...
you're more upset about the name?
I'm more
the...
upset about the name. Why can't they just be like small dog?
See, I just never thought of a bee mixed with an eagle when I heard beagle. And I feel like now I'm going to be disappointed.
I know.
By
I
beagles.
Ruined beagles for
you.
Someone's going to be like, hey, I just got a new dog. And you're like, oh, sweet, what kind of beagle? And you're like, stupid. Like, that's a dumb choice of a dog. Go with a different type of dog with a cooler name that lives up to its name. Why not do that? A beagle, you don't see it and go, oh, that's awesome. And could you imagine a hive of beagles? That's a sci-fi movie.
Would they live in hives?
Well, yeah.
Dude, if they kept that... Dude,
they
yes,
make
that
hives.
Is a sci-fi movie.
They make hives out of nests. So, like, it's got the contents of a nest, so sticks and moss.
Right, but it's a huge hive.
It's ginormous.
On the top of, like,
would
it's
they
the
still
tree.
Fly south for the winter?
Dude, they kill everybody.
They would hibernate.
They would kill people.
But, dude, they'd be the size of, like, a shed.
Oh, my gosh. That is so frightening.
Epic Beagles.
This movie needs to be made, and it would be called, like, Attack of the Beagles.
Yeah.
And it would be the opposite. Instead of being, like, that sounds like a stupid... People would be like, that sounds like a stupid movie about dogs attacking people. And then they'd be totally pleasantly surprised.
Twist.
So you'd take this frustrating disappointment and flip it on its head.
Yeah. They'd be like, oh, let's see, this is like Cujo.
Make something positive out of a negative.
Hive of beagles.
Oh, wow.
Attacking a small country town that outlawed bees and eagle mating. So nature decided to fight the law of man.
Footloose mixed with Terminator versus, or Aliens versus Predator.
The coolest beagle that there is moves into town. And they're like, we can't have you here. So he gets upset and goes to a warehouse and does his beagle thing and makes a hive.
Yeah.
And creates a swarm of beagles that then attack the town.
He has an angry
dance.
To a
soundtrack of Kenny Loggins.
Yes. Oh, Kenny Loggins. Right. Okay.
That's irrelevant.
There's so many things to vent about.
Ryan, what's your irrelevant?
Yeah, Ryan.
I don't have any.
You're not mad about anything. There's nothing that annoys you.
Well, yeah, but nothing that would be relevant towards the irrelevant subject.
No, it's
the whole point
irrelevant.
It's irrelevant, but I mean, look at my what I deal with on a day to day basis as of right now. Like,
I feel like this is you're going to talk about how cool you are.
No, okay.
Ryan's a personal trainer.
I got nothing to be.
Is that the
about.
Sort of thing that you want to like vent about people who? What's the most annoying thing when they don't do what you tell them to do, or when you're trying to get them healthy and they just continue getting fatter? That would be upsetting.
Okay,
this could be a slippery subject right there.
Hey, Ryan, here's the situation: you're walking down the street.
Nice.
Something happens right in front of you, and then you walk away from it, and you're like, that kind of ruined my day.
Uh-huh.
You know what? I'm going to be thinking about that all day. I'm super annoyed by it. What was the thing that you saw when walking down the street?
Could you do that while I'm
walking.
Okay, so while you guys are
walking, and then you see that thing over there, and you're like, what?
So, here's my... God, this could be a subject.
Good.
Giving people money, or giving panhandlers money. Like,
giving people who are down on their
panhandlers,
rather than
giving them money, just make the...
But, like, okay, so the people that are not trying to better their situation, they're making a career. They're trying to have a career of panhandling.
No, that's annoying.
I've heard you can make $11 an hour.
I've heard way higher.
You can make more, but I've heard you average... $11 an hour.
Yeah, and that just blows my mind.
That's crazy.
Like, I just think it's ridiculous how if you're in a situation, like, you got to try to work yourself to get to that full potential that you need. But if you're down on your luck, or however many of them try to, like, use an emotional crutch. Like, there's a gentleman that in, like, the Thurston County area who he uses dogs. Like, for his little niche. Like, he has two dogs, a knee brace, and then a wrap knee. But then he has newer boots on.
Right.
It's like, dude.
Or, like, a super nice coat or something.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like, come on, man. Like,
we once saw a guy asking for money, and then he was, like, packing up and got into a car and drove off. And we drove somewhere else, and then he was there again, like, in his car driving around. Like, it was a nice car, too.
Mm-hmm.
But that was super annoying. And, you know, the term panhandlers... comes from when people were first starting and there was a huge depression and they weren't able to do anything. The people who were homeless that didn't have any money would make new handles for people's pans when they got broken. True story.
I hope you're in that.
They would pay them for it to repair all the broken pan handles.
So they would travel the city.
I made that up.
Handling people's pans.
Yeah, dude, they're pan handlers. That's I think.
No, they would
handles for pans is funnier because it's so ridiculous. But I like they just like go into they break into people's houses and just handle their pans. You know, they just get their hands all over your pans And you come home and you're like, damn it, I've been panhandled again. Now I gotta wash all my pans.
You're like scrambling eggs and you're eating them and you're like, this tastes like dirty hands.
Tastes like a hobo.
It's got kind of a hobo flavor to it.
So you think, okay, so I will admit that I don't think it's always, I used to be a detox aide at like this place where like people would recover from being like super drunk or super high on drugs and they'd stay and we'd watch their health. And anyhow, I was talking to a guy, I was like, how do you get the money? Because he was homeless. And I was asking him, how do you get the money to buy all this beer so you can get super drunk? And he was like, oh, I hold a sign that says, help me, I'm homeless, you know? And I was like, oh, okay, so you fund your alcoholism by like standing on a street corner making people feel bad that you don't have money. Not everyone does that. I think there are, like, you know, rare cases where, like, this person's a veteran or something. They got injured. They can't work for themselves. It helps to hold us.
Yeah, and that's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ones that bug me are the ones that, like, you see for 2 years straight.
Right.
Like,
it's their job.
They are not trying to get themselves out of that situation. Yeah. Everyone can argue, like, you don't know. You haven't walked a mile in their shoes. Like, yeah, you're absolutely right. But also from how I was born and how I was raised, like, you work
you're
to try to get yourself out of that situation. Right. Like, you don't like, woe is me, let me get $12 and then let me get back to that crutch. Like, there's options that they could do to help get themselves to that situation, but they haven't made that step. And then all they're doing is, you know, they're staying on their corner. They're working their niche. Like, the dude with the dogs. Like, how do you pay for dog food? Huh? I know they're eating because he's not, you can't see his ribs.
Right.
Like, how'd you afford that brace? That's like a $300 brace that you just don't find in the garbage can.
One thing that also bugs me is when talking about people who are down on their luck and panhandling, is
back
when you
in,
say you haven't walked a mile in their shoes. That's kind of a dumb thing to say at that point in time. Because if you went up to one and you're like, hey, I want to swap shoes so I can walk in these. And he's like, yeah, that's fine. You walk him out and you come back. He's not going to be there. He probably just stole your shoes.
Right?
Selling them to some sort of shoe store.
But also, just think, if that panhandler wasn't washing his feet.
Yeah, he'd be like, new pair of shoes.
Boom.
And then you're stuck with some gross shoes with holes in it. That some guy who can't better his life is wearing.
And he had been handling pans that entire time.
I know. Think of all the pan residue.
That's what really bothers
shoes.
Me is the panhandling. I feel like that's just, you feel defiled, you know?
Yeah.
Who's been putting their hands on
that's
my pans? Yeah. Yeah, it's not far from it, really.
What about you?
Hold on. Okay. Got nothing, man. I got nothing. I'm not.
People, how about you should be pissed off that no one's sending any emails trying to talk to you or date you?
Because I'm not.
That'd make me mad.
I'm mad about it.
People sitting at free right turns. That
if that had happened to me today, that would have annoyed me.
How about just old people driving in general?
In
general?
Oh, okay. It is illegal to talk on your cell phone while driving. And yet. And why do you think it's such a problem that people are texting while they're driving? Because that's so stupid. It's because if you talk while you're driving on the phone, which isn't dangerous at all, who here drives at all times with both hands on the wheel? Nobody drives that way. Everybody drives with one hand anyways. So you hold a phone to your ear and all of a sudden you're definitely going to crash. I feel like it's more dangerous to have a passenger because then you want to look away from the road and talk to them. But it's not illegal to have a passenger.
I'm not riding in your car anymore, dude.
Huh?
I'm not riding as a passenger in your car anymore. I don't have that impulse.
What do you mean?
To stare at someone while I'm driving.
Corey's a super safe driver.
So am I. But what I'm saying is I feel like the point I'm making is it's more dangerous to drive with a passenger than it is to drive while talking on your cell phone.
Well, because
it's... And I feel like that law causes more people to text while they're driving because they don't want to hold their phone up and have a cop see it and pull them over. So they hold it down here and they text. But it's way more dangerous to text while you're driving than it is to talk. And it just really bothers me. From the very beginning of that law, it's made me angry. And
But it's been the situation is primarily for people always having a distraction. If it's not their cell phone, it's the radio. If it's not the radio, it's something that they brought with them. So it's
you ever
it's
try
that,
and eat while you're driving? People do it all the time. That's way harder than
and
talking
that's,
on
and
the
that's
phone while driving.
Women putting makeup on it while
right.
they're driving. Like it's still
men
people
putting
are trying
makeup on.
It's still people
driving.
Trying to fill that empty space with an activity.
Right.
They're not realizing that they are driving a legitimate weapon. They just are wanting to get everything done at the same time while they're still trying to get to that place to do another thing.
I used to talk on the phone while driving just so I could stay awake, because I would be doing a lot of long drives late at night because I had girlfriends who live far away. So I'd talk to them like on the way there.
Did you hear that? Girlfriends. Man whore.
I've had two girlfriends in my life,
male,
and they're both
prostate.
Kind of long
just fill this time with like a Captain Planet bit, just so the listeners or the watchers would think.
Well, you know, the whole girlfriends thing could be fixed if you filmnark@gmail.com.
He's trying to get me a girlfriend through this, but nobody
send us an email.
So it's never gonna happen.
You never know. It could happen.
Filmnark@gmail.com. This guy right here, he's a lover.
Merry Christmas. Look at the animal. He likes Home Alone. This we know. He likes red sweaters.
Oh, gosh.
He likes pulling pranks on people that try to come to his house.
Yes.
He also...
That's why you gotta email me, because if you came to my house, you would fall on the marbles that I leave on the floor. In the entranceway.
I wouldn't go up that set of stairs. I leave my toolbox right up on top.
After burning your hand on the doorknob.
Why is Chris buying so many paint cans? Nothing in his house has been painted since he's bought all those paint cans.
Chris, where'd you get all these toy soldiers?
Why do you have an iron right here?
So you just always have a bowling ball hanging from a string?
That's weird.
It's my alarm clock, guys.
You're eccentric.
I love that about you.
Okay, so I think that we can put a fork in irrelevant, and we're moving over to what we think Holly should. You like what I did there? Yeah. So this is what's going to happen. Chris is going to name a movie. Ryan is going to name a movie. And I'm going to start it out and try to get a ball rolling on a movie that would integrate both movies into one. Okay? And then from there, we're all going to try to pitch in and make the perfect crossover movie. Sounds good, right? Okay, Chris. First movie. I don't know what they're going to say.
Failure to launch.
Failure to launch. Can you pick a non-crappy movie that I've actually seen?
I've never seen
Failure to Launch.
I also don't even know what it is.
90% of the population.
It's about...
Matthew McConaughey, isn't
it?
And Jennifer...
I can't remember who the girl is.
What's her name? But, I don't know, is that about, like, treasure?
No, it's this guy who lives at home and his parents want him to move out, so... they hired
Matthew,
this girl to like date him, and somehow that's
and Matthew McConaughey.
I was close with Treasure. Okay, you know what? We'll do Failure to Launch since you just told me what it's about. I kind of remember it from trailers. I didn't watch it because
dude,
I'm not
we
really,
can do
I
a different movie.
Yeah, do a different one because
yeah,
that would
be a different one.
I'm trying to think of like a franchise. So most
Ryan, give me one.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
What's Eating Gilbert Grape? Okay.
Is that good? Can you do
that? Yeah, no, I can do something.
Okay,
like that.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape and, let's do Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Man, it's been a long time since I've seen either of those movies. Okay, starts out with Indiana Jones. He's on a search to find his father. Okay, I don't think that's
Sean
what the
Connery.
Movie is about, but he comes across Sean Connery in the movie.
His dad's always involved somehow.
Okay, so
yeah.
Indiana Jones is out on an adventure looking for stuff, because that's what Indiana Jones does, right? He's on this train, he falls into a train car of snakes, and he's like, oh no, and he tries getting out, and he gets out, and then he goes into another car, and Indiana Jones finds his father, Leonardo DiCaprio. Playing a mentally challenged kid.
So, wait, that's Indiana Jones' father?
Yep,
in this?
That's Indiana Jones' father. So now they're on a ragtag team adventure to stop the Nazis, played by Johnny Depp. He plays all of them.
The Nazis, yeah.
He plays all of them. He's super
perfect.
Close. It's an army of... The Nazis learned cloning technology, and they took the perfect facial features of Johnny Depp to make a whole clone of Nazi army that now... Big twist, the Nazi clones find out they're related to Indiana Jones' father. So Indiana Jones is now going against his half-brothers, as well as with his father going against them.
Okay.
Okay, so where do you kind of see this movie going?
Nowhere.
I think they're in a fight and they end up, they fall into a pit somewhere.
Okay.
Okay, because that's what the Nazis do. They set a trap for Indiana Jones and his father, Leonardo DiCaprio. And his father falls in first, and Indy is, like, fighting the Nazis, like, like, shooting at him and, like, ducking behind stuff. And eventually he's like, oh, what happened to my dad? He doesn't notice that he's missing. And he's like, oh, no, he notices. And he's like, oh, no, where's my dad? And he's, like, going around looking for him. And then he falls into the pit after his dad. And he's like, oh, man, where's my dad? And he finally, like, it's a pit of man-eating...
Grapes?
No. Because Gilbert Grape is his name. So you know where I'm going with this. His dad is being eaten by something. Maybe snakes or anything that eats humans.
What about eagles? It would have to be snakes because Indiana Jones is not a fan of snakes.
So then Indy is like, oh, so that's what's eating Gilbert Grape. You know?
So to make it an Indiana...
Don't you know?
To make it an Indiana Jones movie... It'd have to be like something. He'd have to be going for a treasure.
No, it's already Indiana Jones because there's Nazis and he fell in a pit.
Yeah, but
that's what he always does.
But Indiana Jones is going for like a treasure. It's not like
He's got to have a goal in mind. So well, the goal is finding his dad, and they're both looking for a treasure.
Yeah, but the Last Crusade, he's not like he's going for the Holy Grail. He's not going for
where's my dad? What if they're looking for a way to kind of be involved with the family and learn to like
it be would a part be
of
it,
kind of like what's Gilbert Grape, but dealing with the struggles of family. But what if, you know, in this pit where the father, Leonardo DiCaprio, is being attacked by snakes or beagles or something, but because of his condition, they don't see him as a threat. So Indiana Jones kind of uses Leonardo DiCaprio father figure to like kind of get out of there and make sure that they don't get attacked by these animals. Because they just don't see him as like an actual threat because he's not all there.
Well, I think it's a play on words. Is not only is something eating his father, Gilbert Grape, but also his father is having a midlife crisis, okay? And it's eating at him. And so his dad is going on all these crazy adventures.
I see this.
And so Indy is going along with him to kind of help keep him safe.
I'm with you,
and
man.
Like, Dad, you're having a midlife crisis. You need to stop going on so many dangerous
the
adventures.
The same dad that's...
You don't have enough evidence to know if there's really... this crusade is worth it.
The same dad that is Indiana Jones's dad... But also the father of the entire Nazi army?
Yeah. No, just...
Think of the internal conflict.
He shares blood with the man that they used to clone
the Nazi army. Johnny Depp.
Duh!
Yeah. But, you know, think of the internal conflict and how that would be with someone with that kind of condition.
Yeah, it's hard for him to deal with already. He's having a midlife crisis.
He's
slightly
fighting
retarded.
These people, and it's also his own son.
Oh, wow.
This situation is so stupid.
Director. Who would direct it?
It is awesome.
Who would direct it?
Tyler Perry.
Is he a director?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he
directs Madea.
Really?
Yeah, he does like all 40 of those movies.
And other Madeas.
The Tyler Perry being, Mama being in jail.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
Yeah, Madea. Big Mama's Madea.
Right, Madea. But isn't it like big?
Madea.
Like Mama Madea or something?
Yeah. All right, let's do a different movie.
No one cares. Okay, who would write it? Again. Who would you pick to write it?
To write that movie?
Yeah.
Whoever wrote each correspondent... Well, who wrote... Well,
J.J. Abrams.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
This movie wouldn't be J.J. Abrams.
J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote Force Awakens, should write... What's Eating Indiana Jones?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I mean, it's a crazy movie.
Michael Bay produces, of course.
I don't like Michael Bay. I feel like
You're acting like this is going to be a good movie.
Yeah. it's a perfect movie for Michael Bay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I agree with
that.
Are we
doing a different movie?
Sure. Do you want to try one? We could name two movies and you try and link them up.
You're our guest.
All right. Let's see what happens.
You got a movie? I got one.
It has to be a movie I've seen.
Yep. Yeah. I'll try and do like Iron Man. Iron Man 1.
And Pretty Woman.
That's perfect.
You son of a... All right. So, his assistant...
Pepper Potts.
Okay. I almost said Money Penny. his assistant used to be a prostitute that he used to go to. She was a two-bit prostitute. Then he, being like limitless funded, found her on the streets, helped her build herself back up. Like, did the whole "you made a big mistake," huge. That scene.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah.
In this movie.
Nailed it. Killing it.
Then he's like, "You know what? We used to sleep together. Why don't you be my assistant?" Because.
That transition's perfect.
Well, he's in a relationship with her.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why she's and his so assistant.
Then he's like, "Okay, we gotta keep it professional. You can still do that with me, but no one can know." So then he starts making more and more weapons, right?
I think you should major on this whole trying to keep it a secret thing. I see this movie as being he creates the Iron Man suit just so people don't know that he's sleeping with his prostitute. Like, it's not like a weapon or anything. It's just it's like to protect his
identity.
Fully
functional, this guy.
Yeah.
So like, walking.
Stark.
They're walking.
That's a machine.
They're walking hand in hand, but he's in his Iron Man
yeah,
suit.
Exactly.
Don't worry about it, guys.
Yeah. Whenever they're in public together, he has to be in his Iron Man suit so nobody
yeah.
knows who he is.
And then she goes back with him in the Iron Man suit to like all the people that dissed her, and she's like, "I'm sleeping with a robot. That'll show you."
He becomes her new pimp.
Yeah.
I still like the idea of that, like, that's just how
she collects oil instead of money to give to him.
because he's in that type of like throughout the Iron Man, she's just like, "Gotta oil up, my gears."
The Iron Man runs on his like magical power cell in his chest, not on oil.
So then the Iron Man / Tin Man calls together the Avengers, Cowardly Lion, and the Scarecrow.
What would happen if Iron Man's suit was run on gasoline?
So you haven't seen the plot twist.
Oh.
So she thinks
you'd have to be a hybrid.
They're going together, right? Yeah. Then she thinks he's dead while he's being attacked by like the Afghani people or whoever was holding him hostage.
Okay.
That's the beginning
of
Iron Man 1.
Right. Dude, so in this one he has the...
He already has the suit.
Wait, he has the suit before he goes
prior.
To Afghanistan in this
okay.
movie?
So he already
yeah, because remember his early model suit. No, that was he built it. Yeah. So okay. No. So
it still work.
He's doing the weapons. He's doing that whole weapons thing while they're secretly he's
sleeping with her as a prostitute.
Yeah. Because he already built her up from being a prostitute to being the second in his.
So she works for him, but he still hasn't gone to Afghanistan yet.
Correct.
Does he have a suit yet?
No.
Okay.
Because remember, then it takes over to the where he shows off the rocket. Then he gets shot at. Then he goes into the cave. Like, during that time.
I still like the... I think we should just take that whole storyline out
but,
of it.
No, what here's the plot twist, guys. Here's the plot twist. She's trying to develop a search party for him. Because she's still the assistant.
Okay.
She goes back into hooking. Right?
To fund the search
to
party?
Try to
to find search
because,
party members.
Because she's trying to get extra...
All she knows how to do is be a hooker. She can't,
because,
like, call his friends and be like, "We need to find
remember,
him." She
remember.
She has to be a hooker.
She's just
I
the assistant.
Find his Rolodex.
She's just the assistant right now, guys.
Right.
Assistant. She doesn't have access to that stuff yet. Because remember, she's just having an affair with him with it.
So she is like an underground assistant? Like, he pays her under the table?
No. He's the company, or she's the company's assistant, but he brought her in while they were having the adultuous relationship.
Okay. I got it. I got this whole timeline suit thing. Okay, they hook up and they do all that in secret, but this is before he ever dons a suit.
Right.
Okay? So they're hooking up in secret, they're doing a really good job, he brings her on as an assistant, as kind of a cover, and all that, but they still don't like to be seen together in public.
Well,
he gets kidnapped,
right?
And then she flies out with his team and all them because they work for him and they want to get him debriefed and stuff after he's found, but he's like, "Oh crap, I can't be seen walking out with her." So he runs back in the cave, builds a suit, wears it out, and he's just like, "Hey guys, totally cool. It's just me and this chick. We're together. It's all good."
I like how you guys are still stuck on the They can only be together if he's in a suit.
I just think that's so funny.
She's with the robot and stuff, and then they could, like, go off, and then he could sneak around and then come back out and be like, "Woo! Thank you guys for saving me. Where's my assistant? All right, go do some work." And stuff, and then totally shrugs her off after he's already walked out as a robot. Right. And then that's the way of dating publicly, is he wears the robot thing, you know? Right. He's like, "Oh, I've established this. They think you're dating a robot."
Yeah. I thought of something for this. Boom.
For what?
For irrelevant?
Yeah. So
you already got your irrelevant. It was about panhandlers.
I know.
Yeah, real quick. What pisses you off?
In action movies when they rescue the chick. Like, Iron Man flies away with her because she's about to be in, like, a explosion or something.
Damsel in distress?
Right. So just pisses you off when girls get saved from sure death?
There's no way that their bodies could handle that. Like, or in a Spider-Man movie where he's, like... He grabs her at last second and rip her arm out of her shoulder.
Oh.
Okay. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, but if he was doing that to a man, he'd be okay.
yeah. Our bones are stronger.
Just like our brains.
Just like with a brain a third the size of ours.
It's hard for them to read when they're in the kitchen, right?
What?
That wasn't like sexist funny. That was just sexist, man.
Oh, no, too, well, that was that. That's
I,
where it was
too far.
I saw where he was
too
coming
far.
From. I saw where he was coming from.
Too
it was,
far.
It was okay, that's why women are bad at reading because the lighting is bad in the kitchen. That would be like a sexist joke, but instead it was like completely disjointed. Like, they can't read in the kitchen. Why not? They can read recipe books.
Oh. All right, we are spinning off the rails. We just lost all of our female listeners.
We'll just take this part out.
Women
we
like
went
sexist
from
jokes
zero
too.
To negative one.
Just take this part out.
Anyway, all right, we're gonna take a break.
This one always
Do
has
you have
like,
yours?
Huh?
You have yours?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I should get it ready. This song always reminds me of a like dubstep sort of. Yeah.
All right, so we're going into our next topic, which is over-under, another very popular one that, you know, we've gotten a lot of feedback on from our hundreds of listeners.
all over the world.
Yeah, all over the world.
Right.
It's pretty crazy. We are the most popular show no one's ever listened to, so it's
yeah, we're on the top five of shows no one's watched.
Of lists no one's made.
Yeah. okay, we're gonna do. We have like a twist to over under. Last time we just did actors. This time we're doing childhood shows. Like
yep.
Childhood for us when we were kids. Shows that we watched and kind of whether they hold up, as well as whether they're over.
So
overrated.
For us, it would be early '90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right around there.
Yeah. Basically, all of the '90s, really.
Yeah.
That decade was our childhood decade.
Mm. Yeah.
Lots of, you know, that was like a, there were a lot of like Saturday morning cartoons
yeah.
during that time, but there were also some
Shoot,
other shows
yeah.
that were just,
Or
know,
TGIF?
Good.
It was
yeah,
like.
Yeah, TGIF was also during that
yeah.
time.
It was the golden age of like family sitcoms and cartoons.
You
it,
should take,
it was.
You should do all that. That should be one of your shows.
All
that?
That
from TGIF. Do you remember that show? It was like SNL for kids, but like
yeah,
it had Kenan.
That was Nickelodeon.
Yeah,
it had Kenan and Kel. And
yeah,
they were all jumping on the trampoline in the beginning.
It was really, it was actually uh-huh. really good. I think
I forgot all about that.
That one holds up.
But I'm thinking about the one that was like on Channel 4. Was it?
What one?
The like that's what TGIF was.
Yeah, with like Family Matters and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, all of a lot of different
Good
channels
call,
did
Wonder Years.
TGIF.
There's another show from back then. Anyway,
wow, yeah, that's
I'll
a good show.
I'll start it out. Okay, Power Rangers, over or under? I would vote that one overrated. I watched it actually recently, the original season, and as a kid, I loved it. I always pretended to be Jason until Tommy came around, the Green Ranger. And then I always pretended to be Tommy. Because he was the man.
Yeah.
And he played a manly flute. But,
yeah.
Manly flute.
Because
oh,
it was
yeah,
on
guys.
A dagger.
That's what told.
Oh, yeah, guys. There, that monster's coming this way. Time to play a nice little flute.
Have you guys ever heard of green sleeves? But definitely overrated for me. It's sad because I rewatched it and I was like, oh, sweet, first season of Power Rangers, man. And I'm like, this is awful. I don't even think I finished the first episode. Right.
You thought it was a really good show when you were a kid.
I adored it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So it was one of those like
I played with the action figures at school.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a pretty popular show. For me, it was overrated, but it's always been overrated for me. Mm-hmm. I never understood why people liked it. I watched it because my friends were into it.
Yeah.
But I never got into it. I never really felt like, yeah, I get this. It just, like, the fighting was so, it was so overdone. Like, they kick a guy and he flies 5 feet. And yeah. it was so, like, melodramatic.
So at your age, it was realism that was an issue.
Because it wasn't a cartoon. If it was a cartoon, I probably could have gotten into a show like that. But because it was live action, it kind of
didn't fit.
Hampered my suspension of disbelief at that age. So
I don't even know how I would respond to watching the first season now. Because like I'm kind of remembering on how the action was. And it was just like...
pretty bad.
It was pretty bad, yeah. But, I mean, there were good shows too, but that's one like where you understand why it was popular because of this, like the type of show that it was. Mm. But they just didn't do a good job with it. It was so overblown. And so it was always overrated for me. I never liked it. I never really understood why people were so into it. So
is that three overrated?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay. Go ahead and with you next.
Okay, do you guys remember the X-Men cartoon?
Yeah, dude. Yes.
One of the greatest theme songs ever. I love that song.
Power Rangers had a pretty solid theme song.
Because it said the same thing at least 2,000 times.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah. So what do you guys think? Do you think
underrated. I would still watch that show.
Yeah, underrated. That was actually a really good cartoon. It's one that I actually started rewatching, and I was like, man, this is really good.
Yeah, it's still good. Yeah. That's what I had. I had it as underrated. That show, I don't know if you can necessarily... The only reason it's underrated is because I think it's like a legitimately good show, you know?
And I think it was successful in focusing on a character that shot fireworks out of her hands.
Like, and that's hard to do. They made... That's the thing is, I guess the new X-Men is going to focus on Jubilee, and I'm like, they can't do Jubilee better than they did it in the cartoon. Because Jubilee was like the perfect combination of, ooh, she's powerful, but she doesn't know what she's doing. She just discovered it. So she was... And they did Gambit really well in the cartoon. Yeah. Like, all Gambit these characters that they don't know what Wolverine, to do with in the live-action movies, they did really well in that cartoon.
Too. Yeah. My thought on it was that... if we're just referring to the X-Men one, like that's how I refer to the new movies that are coming out, like the Wolverine or
the cartoon.
Yeah, because that's what I grew up watching. Right. Like Bishop hasn't been in.
Yeah,
like,
we know the cartoons really well, better than the comics. You know, I got most of my X-Men storyline, from the cartoon. Most of it. I did read some of the comics, but most of my knowledge comes from the cartoon.
Right, like
Juggernaut played a bigger part Juggernaut in the awesome. Cartoons. He was a Juggernaut. He's crazy big
covered in metal
armor and helmet.
But it's Wolverine's. No, that's Sabretooth.
He was a huge nemesis of Wolverine because it was basically the unstoppable force versus the immovable object. That was
invincible object, kind of. I love his power.
Yeah,
I always thought those Juggernauts that like it's not like a simple power like he's indestructible. It's just that like once he builds momentum, you can't stop him. I like that.
Yeah, and I think they did it really well. I mean, I know we're gonna detract a little bit from the cartoon, but like how they did it in the X-Men movies, like once they brought Juggernaut into it, like I thought it was really cool how he like once they got him to start moving, like he just blasted right through stuff. Yeah. Like in the cartoon he had like the gigantic suit and the guy was like at least 500 pounds.
He was huge.
Yeah, in the TV show in the movie, he's just like a dude.
Yeah.
That's where like all of these shows, like the superhero shows, I got all my information primarily from the 90s cartoons. Yeah. So like I never read the comic books or anything like that. So my knowledge on them is just merely based off of like
the which TV is okay because that cartoon is really good.
Yeah.
Do you have one?
I thought I was going to be the first one to go with an underrated one. So we were talking.
You mean overrated?
No, under.
Underrated. We agreed that X-Men was underrated.
Yeah.
Thought he would be.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Like, Family Matters.
Oh, Family Matters. Well, okay, I saw a really funny Keen Peele sketch the other day where it's about how Steve Urkel totally takes over that show because he does.
Yeah.
Because he just called it the Urkel Show.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be this family drama about a family, and it just became this crazy show about Steve Urkel. However, like, you're okay with that because Steve Urkel was great.
Yeah, I mean, because the way that the series shifted was that it was like the family, like how the family is going to function, and then it turned into the comedy part of having that nerdy kid next door always trying to hit on your daughter.
Yeah.
Yep. Good times.
But like, I feel. Do you guys feel like it was under or overrated for now?
I feel like I could still watch it. I think it'd be underrated. I mean, or perfectly rated. I don't know of anyone that'd be like, oh yeah, that show sucks now.
I could really use like to watch it again and see, because I haven't seen it since like I originally saw it when I was a kid.
Because
a lot of the shows hold up, like Fresh Prince and all that. Like,
well,
it's still
I've been
enjoyable.
Watching The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and it holds up, and it's a good show, but it's not a great show. I feel like it might be overrated.
Would you put Step by Step, Home Improvement, like in those under or overrated for those family TV shows?
I would say underrated. Home Improvement was, I don't think Home Improvement was underrated because it was huge. It got the prop, but it was a really good show. So
yeah,
you can't really say that it was overrated.
It would definitely hold up.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it's because we're seeing those things at that time when that humor was really new. Like Fresh Prince for you, you'd never really seen Fresh Prince before you started watching it, right?
Right.
But I feel like if maybe you watched it back then when that was new and it was mixed in with all the comedies of that time, you would
something that I definitely do like about that show is the theme song, obviously, but it has a lot of 90s hip hop in it.
Yeah,
and there's like a style that like that Slick Rick style of like, well, this is a story, you know, like where you actually tell a story. I love that kind of hip hop, so I really enjoy that about that aspect of the show. But I've kind of quit watching it because it's not that. You know, it doesn't really suck you in. It's so funny. She's like, whines for you to go get her and then sleeps in your arms
all right.
in her bed. That's
so
funny.
My next one would be Tailspin.
Tailspin!
A little story where Disney decided to do a cartoon about an air shipping business, and to make it, kids want to watch it, they used all the characters from the Jungle Book.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Baloo as a pilot. King Louie as like a club owner. Shere Khan as like an evil CEO. And then a new villain named Don Carnage, which may be the coolest name of a cartoon villain in the world.
Have you watched that? Have you ever
I've seen it pretty recently.
Oh, man, I want to rewatch that.
Yeah,
because I want to know if it holds up, but I loved that show.
It still holds up. It's still, like, enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
Like,
one of the biggest things about that show that I liked was that disc that he has.
Yeah, Kit Cloud Kicker?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, like,
holy
cloud
crap,
surfing.
Yeah.
You remember his little, like, thing? Yeah. It would, like, spin out and he'd, like, fly
he'd, like,
on
throw it.
It
like it was a frisbee and then jump on
it.
Oh,
so cool. Yeah, I loved that. He'd, like,
Which doesn't make any sense if you think about it now.
He'd, like, cloud ski.
I mean, I get it's a cartoon.
So unrealistic.
I get that they are animals.
You heard me just say balloon to bear.
But he's in an airplane, cargo airplane, and yet he has the hover disc teleportation technology.
Well, they would pull him behind the plane, right? Like he was water skiing.
Yeah.
It was so
cool.
He had
a tow cable.
Who cares if it makes sense? It was so cool.
It was cool.
And that I felt added to the show because I liked that character a lot because I felt like he's having fun with it. He's enjoying his job, you know? And that was always good. I haven't re-seen it. I don't know if it holds up, but I assume it's underrated because I always really loved that show.
It's a whole other layer of fun knowing how ridiculous the premise of the whole thing is.
Yeah, yeah. But you're saying it holds up because I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I'm saying it holds up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think I watched it when it had come out.
I think we both have this one on our list. But Darkwing Duck is
actually not on my list. Let's get dangerous.
Darkwing Duck!
I'm Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, my mom had made me a sweat, like a little sweatshirt, because I was into Darkwing Duck. I actually think I still have the entire DVD set at my house.
What?
Dude, can I borrow that?
No kidding!
Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome!
Okay, here's the deal. Here's the deal with me and Darkwing Duck. I remember seeing the commercials, loved the entire idea of a crime-fighting duck.
Right.
I saw one episode, and then I could not find when that show was on or the right channel at the right time to be able to watch it. So I've literally only seen probably one or two episodes of Darkwing Duck, and I loved it and loved the theme song, and that's all I've ever done. And it's always been a childhood regret that I never figured out when that show was on.
See, I never saw enough Darkwing Duck. I could never get enough Darkwing Duck, and I always wanted to watch more of it. And that's why it's got, like, part of why it has such a positive, like, nostalgic yeah. feel in my mind.
I can't really vote because I haven't seen enough, and it's always made me sad.
How about this one? Gargoyles.
Oh, I love Gargoyles! Oh, dude! That, like, Nickelodeon style.
Yeah, dude.
Back in the Nickelodeon's heyday when it was really good. I don't know if Nickelodeon's got worse or I just grew up.
Yeah.
But I don't like Nickelodeon like I did when I was a kid.
It definitely got worse.
Okay, that makes me feel a little better.
Gargoyles, for me, I was never into as a kid, really. It was too serious for me.
I really liked Gargoyles.
I liked it because of...
I think now I'd probably like it.
Yeah, like, when I watched that, it was like... You know, it was still a cartoon, but it did deal with, like, it was very dark.
Yeah,
but
pretty dark
the undertone
for a cartoon.
Was still,
especially that, like, 90s like, didn't have a lot of dark. For
yeah,
kids.
It was still, like, they were heroes, but misunderstood heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it had that just winning premise, which, for a child, which is, this is an inanimate object that comes to life when nobody's watching. And that idea, I feel like for a kid, is always really fun.
Which inspired Toy Story.
Yeah.
But, well, and also, if you think
Gargoyle didn't inspire Toy Story, but that idea is a good idea for any child.
But, I mean, if you think about it, like, at the end of each episode, as dawn was coming, like, they would
become stone again.
They would have, like, the closing of the TV show. It would be like, well, we did this because if we... didn't, like, we couldn't maintain peace, or
it had a little bit of that He-Man left in it, which is every show has a moral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you think about it, all the enemies had to do was fly to a different city. Yeah. Like, they couldn't fly and then be, like, in transit somewhere and be like, shit, Dawn's coming. And they land, like, we'll get them tomorrow night.
Yeah, they
why don't bad
to
guys
later.
Do stuff in the day?
How did
why don't they just do something during the day?
How did these gargoyles get in the middle of this intersection? Dang it.
I don't know if that show would hold up, but I remember really loving it. So I'm going to go ahead and say underrated, because not a lot of people... I don't remember, like, talking to people a lot about it. I feel like I really liked it, but I didn't know a lot of people who did.
Okay, I have another one when it gets back to my turn.
Okay.
Okay.
What's yours?
My other one... I lost my spot. I know one of them was Captain Planet.
Yeah, and he had he wanted to do that one too. Mm-hmm. You rewatched it recently, right?
I have.
And you're saying it doesn't hold up?
Not really, no. Because the only thing I can focus on is how stupid the kid with the monkey is with his heart power.
Right, heart power is so stupid.
Like,
yeah.
Who... What does that
do? It doesn't make any sense.
Also, if I was Captain Planet and I was choosing Planeteers, I wouldn't give fire, which is the most destructive ring you have, to a guy named Wheeler. Like, I'd be like, what's your name? You get wind. Like, I'm gonna go with someone who seems a little less, like... rebel. Because the dude just screams, like, if you look at him with, like, his red hair and jacket, and he's like, hey, and he, like, makes kind of rash decisions, he kind of dives into things. Don't give him the fire ring. Give it to someone who may be a little more responsible.
Have you seen the Don Cheadle?
Yeah.
Okay. That, this subject, that is perfect.
Yeah,
those are great.
But
Tree!
Yeah. I like when he starts humping them into existence. Public thrusting all the trees into this. Yeah, those skits are amazing. I remember liking it, and I, as soon as you told me that when we were talking about the over-unders, I was like, oh, I bet that was over, like, just a child overrating because you weren't, like, old enough to realize how ridiculous that show is. It's pure childhood propaganda. Which, I mean,
Captain Planet
is positive because you don't want kids growing up to pollute the planet, but... Zero. Like, I can't believe we were fooled into thinking that was a great show.
I remember I would...
You'll pay for this, Captain Planet. We're the Planeteers, and you can be one too. Because saving our planet is the thing to do. Looting and polluting is not the way. So here what Captain Planet has to say.
Wow.
Ben, Ben, the power is yours!
See, I only remember the Captain Planet, he's our hero.
Like,
he's gonna take pollution down to zero. That's the only
like
part
any
of that
kid's
song.
Cartoon, I probably know the majority of the lyrics.
Wow. Well, and it is funny because I've had the comment about it being propaganda. Like, it definitely was. Like, I remember watching it distinctly in the mornings before I would go to school, yeah, or before my mom would take me to school, and like how much they forced the like recycling or
they're still doing
go out and plant a tree.
It's like Avatar before Avatar.
But even when
and
like
there's blue people.
Yeah. Even when a Ghost Rider, like, do you remember Ghost that Rider TV show?
Yeah, where there's like a floating orb and
yeah,
it was like
yeah. Me and Narn used to pretend we were playing Ghost Rider and take a marker in between our legs and then just move a piece of paper on it and then it'd bleed through.
Ghost Rider. Brilliant.
But like that, like they tried, like once that era of like TV shows started going from cartoons, but still trying to integrate like computer animation, with
actual people.
Yeah. Like that transition, they were like, go out and plant a tree. Go out and like they were just trying to force that type of situation. And I feel like they did it so much that like it became like, yeah. Like you can go,
yeah,
but like getting back to my cartoon.
A little preachy, yeah.
Yeah.
Animaniacs.
Over.
You thought it was overrated?
Overrated.
I think
I could
underrated.
Not watch Animaniacs.
I feel like not only was it great then, it was a lot more clever than you could even recognize
kid. I've been showing it to my daughter, and because it's on Amazon Prime, I think. You can watch the seasons
I need to
of
watch
it.
That.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I love it. I'd say underrated. Like I think
I put it with the same class as Freakazoid.
Dude, Freakazoid! I loved Freakazoid!
I couldn't watch it.
Oh my goodness.
Like, I chose Gargoyles over Freakazoid.
Like, well, that might be just simply Freakazoid. Like the age you were at. Like, because I don't think those are necessarily the same age range. I think Gargoyles is more for slightly younger people.
Oh, you suck.
I'm not saying like... I'm just saying, like, maybe you didn't watch that show. There are a lot of kids' shows that I never got into simply because when they were big, I wasn't at, the right age. Like, I was a little too old to really like Recess, but that was a great show.
Mm-hmm.
But I never really got into it because I thought of it as a cartoon, and I was at that age where it's like, I don't watch cartoons anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Where I probably would have really enjoyed Recess, but I didn't watch it because I felt like I was too old for it. So you might have hit Animaniacs or something like that on that kind of range where it was like this is because
I don't think I could watch it now. Like if it was on Netflix, for example, I don't think I would like willingly be like, all right, I'll give this show another try.
See, I think I actually would. I'm probably gonna look up Animaniacs and watch it. That's why I say underrated. Yeah, because I would still watch it today.
Yeah, it's just like to me, it seemed like there were other cartoons that were
that you were
more that I had. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like Looney Tunes, which I know is on your.
Yes.
And Looney Tunes, it's hard to say that it was underrated because everybody loved Looney Tunes. It might be more accurate to say like it was properly rated.
Mm-hmm.
But Looney Tunes, man, that holds up. Those are all
so good.
Because
there's
they're
so much
funny.
More you see as an adult because they're made for adults in a movie theater. And if you get, like, the DVD sets that they have now, they're uncut. A lot of the stuff that they had on, like, Cartoon Network that they replayed, there were scenes that they took out because some of them were a little more like, whoa. Like, there's a scene where Bugs Bunny and Yosemite Sam are running for mayor, and they both don't get elected. A donkey does, because a jackass becomes mayor. That's the whole joke there. But afterwards, I always remember that episode ending. I bought a DVD set with the Looney Tunes on it, and after they see that, they turn to each other and they're like, well, nothing else for us to do now. And Bugs is like, want to play Russian roulette? And Yosemite Sam's like, sure. So they take out a pistol and spin it, and then put it through their head and like pull the trigger, and it goes click. He's like, nope, hands it over. And then the other one does it, goes click. And then he hands it over to Bugs Bunny, puts it up to his head, and it goes black, and you hear a shot, and Bugs Bunny's ducked, and you see Yosemite Sam with a black face, and he's like, I missed. But and then that's the end of the episode.
They play Russian roulette.
Yeah, dude. Cow. It's just like, oh my god, I was watching it, I was like, holy crap, that's intense.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, but the comedy is amazing, though.
What's crazy is to watch that stuff as an adult and see how much stuff went over your head that wasn't appropriate.
And it was
that
so
actually
funny.
Made it through.
It was so
but,
funny.
Yeah.
The two skunks probably, like, I haven't seen. Yeah, I haven't seen it since.
Well, think
but, like,
of how
he's
much
pretty
all
sexually
those,
aggressive.
All the Looney Tunes, think of how much they
a little
like,
bit.
just permeated society as part of the culture now. Everybody our age knows Looney Tunes, and older and younger. Looney Tunes is Looney Tunes.
And they really helped set up Tex Avery, who's one of the writers and animators, really helps set up all the staples that cartoons do nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you got the chasing between Sylvester and Tweety, stacking up all the crazy things, you know, people do that stuff all the time. The eyes bulging out and tongue rolling down.
Right, and the Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote kind
all
of
those
ideas.
All those pranks and jokes that they do in
the video game?
Yeah, dude.
The Tom and Jerry video game or the
Tom
Looney Tunes video game?
Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes.
I think I do. Actually, it was a pretty good game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of different Looney Tunes ones. I remember for Sega Genesis, it had Taz the Tasmanian Devil, which was based on the Taz cartoon show.
That's cool. I don't remember that one. I never had a Sega Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
But I know they had a really good all Looney Tunes game for Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually a really fun game.
Yeah. The way I learned hand signals when driving a car is actually from the Taz cartoon. Where his dad, who sounds like Bing Crosby, teaches Taz how to drive and teaches him the hand signals to turn and stop and all that. I learned it from that cartoon.
Okay, Looney Tunes. Do you have another one? Or I could do another one.
I got one more.
I have, I have two more.
Go with yours. I forgot mine.
Do you guys remember Doug?
Of course I
do remember
Doug.
I
love Doug. With
not a Doug fan.
Where he was Quill Man and he would wear his underwear on the outside of his shorts
I
and wear a belt
it.
On his head.
I don't
and
think
he had
would...
a crush on Patty Mayonnaise, and he had Pork Chop the dog,
and Dink was his next door neighbor.
Mm.
Yeah, it was his friend.
He was like
who had green
marine.
Skin for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked that cartoon. I don't know if it holds up, but I imagine it would. I feel like it would. You're not a big Doug fan?
I never was. It was too realistic to me. It was like people having people problems doing people things. And
right.
As a kid, I just wasn't into that.
You
wanted,
fanciful.
I wanted something to
fantasy.
Take me out of reality as a kid.
Yeah. I think I liked it because... primarily because he had that relationship with Panty Manny's. That's what I was really into because I was like... I was at that age. It just hit me right, just at the right age where the idea of a boy having a relationship with a girl and that kind of, I was just so excited about that. That was like my whole world when I was in like elementary, middle school. It was like, oh, dating the girl, having a girlfriend. It was like what life was about for me.
You have a weird childhood. We need to do a special episode where we just go through childhood stories.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Doug, I had it as under. It's over for you. What about you?
Yeah, definitely over.
It wouldn't. I don't think it would hold up now.
Yeah, I don't know if it would hold up.
It wouldn't.
Do you have any other
input on
cartoons?
It? Cartoons like the
or shows.
Yeah, I keep thinking of like the ones that we grew up with. Like
I liked
the one where they were at the like Hey Dude, Pete and Pete.
Yeah, Pete and Pete. I liked Pete and Pete. You're
Pete
a lot
and Pete
of Nickelodeon shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pete and Pete was good. What else did they have?
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah.
Yeah, Are You Afraid of the Dark is good. We
Goosebumps.
Actually, we downloaded, we bought and downloaded on our Xbox the first season of Are You Afraid of the Dark.
That's fun.
Like.
Yeah.
Those
dude, I remember all of those shows.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you mentioned Pete and Pete. Do you guys remember, What, it's that show where the girl could turn into a puddle. What was that
called? Alex Mack?
Yeah!
Yeah, she could turn into a puddle. It was so cool.
Yeah, and then it's like...
And go under doors. Like, every episode, she would turn into a puddle and go under a door. Like, that was... The, like, you can turn into a puddle. Color. Is that the best you can come up with? Go under a door?
Famous Life of Jet Jackson?
I have no idea.
I've heard of the title. I haven't watched it.
Do you guys remember, like, Johnny Bravo and, like, those kinds of shows?
See, when Cartoon Network on my list is Cartoon right Network. Around there.
See, I can't...
Powerpuff Girls.
Hold on. Because this is one of my picks.
I know
it. Do the theme song.
Okay. This one has words, too, though.
It doesn't have words. It's just the music.
It does have words, though. It totally has words, though. Life goes mad and something in Dexter's life. It totally has words. It
does not have words.
It does.
Is that what you're
the
doing?
The theme song has words.
The theme song does not have words.
The theme song has words.
The theme song does not have words.
Oh, my gosh. It totally
was that Dexter's Laboratory?
Dexter's Laboratory.
Dexter's Lab. Yep.
Something, something when things go boom.
Underrated.
In Dexter's Lab. You don't remember that? There's gloom and doom when things go boom in Dexter's Lab, something like that.
It may be at like the end of the song, but...
Yeah. I know it's also instrumental,
it's
but it has...
all mostly instrumental.
Okay.
90% instrumental.
Never watched it.
Never watched Dexter's Lab? Oh, man.
Okay,
I could say I've watched like a episode or two, but I never like was like, oh, Dexter... Because it was on like Cartoon Network, right?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get that...
Mm. Underrated show.
I loved that show, but I actually went back and watched it again because it's on Netflix now. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have the attention. I wasn't really interested. I didn't watch it. However, I remember there being episodes that were, like, great. One of my favorite ones is where Mandark...
Yeah.
He, like... <you know>, and there's one episode where it follows Mandark and everything he does is to that rhythm. I always thought that was really brilliant.
Yeah.
So He gets up in the morning and his alarm clock is like ding 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 ding.
Yeah.
And then he brushes his teeth and he's like shh, 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 shh. And when his mom turns the car on to drive him to school, it's like rum, rum, rum. I just thought it was so funny.
Yeah. And it was made by Tartakovsky. Guinea Tartakovsky. I can't say his name. But he's the guy who did Samurai Jack.
Really? I love Samurai Jack, underrated. They need to
definitely
finish
underrated.
That series. I have watched... I love, love, love that show. Samurai Jack is so good.
Samurai Jack is solid.
Gotta get back to the past. Samurai Jack. Jack.
I always remember the episode where he fights all, like, the robot creatures.
Yeah, well, that's, like, every episode.
No, so but there's, like, one movie. Where they make a stand and there's, like, a desert in a bush.
Yeah, it's a giant war.
Yeah,
where, yeah. That's a good
sick.
One. There's a really cool one where he's, like, traveling... And there's, like, these three, like, super trained assassins waiting for him.
Oh, yeah.
And it shows them, like, doing all this stuff, just, like, kicking it, waiting for him to get there. And you're, like, totally, like, oh, they're going to kill Samurai Jack. Because each one of them is, like, super skilled.
Yeah.
And he shows up and, like, kills them all and just keeps walking.
Yeah.
And that was, like, one episode. Something that they did that was really cool about Samurai Jack is it always felt almost like a movie. There was so much going on. And they really paid attention to, like... It was a very cinematographical, I don't know.
Sure.
Cinematographical.
All right,
Tim. It was a very beautiful movie with a lot of interesting, like, ways of, like, directional and, like, angles in the way that it would have been filmed if it wasn't animated. And you don't see that in an animated show very often. It was always really interesting. Hmm. Samurai Jack was amazing. Underrated for sure.
Okay. Did you have another one?
That wasn't one of my shows. Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball Z, I think, was... It's still a good show, but I think it was really overrated.
The 3 minutes of, like, story and fighting that was in it was awesome.
Right.
But the 99% of people going... Bah!
Yeah, it was just... He's too strong. I need to get stronger. Whoa. There were literally, like, 20 minutes of just...
And that's between two people. And then they do like a big fight with like 20 of them. And you're like, oh my god, here we go again. And you're like, yeah.
Plus they kept going they kept going too big with it.
The
like,
tournament was badass.
That was great. That was a really good arc. But they just like, the characters would get too powerful. You get Frieza, he'd get stronger and stronger to the point where they're blowing
up. I unlocked another type of Super Saiyan. And it's like, oh, that's convenient.
It got so ridiculous. It got to a point where they had to go into a time capsule where you could adjust the level of gravity just so they could train to get strong enough to deal with the kind of bad guys.
I forgot, that was pretty cool. When Vegeta and Goku went in.
Yeah, and that was awesome. But there's another, later on, Goku and Gohan go in it together. Yeah. And that, it's a good show, and I hate to, but I just feel like it was a little bit overrated because it was so frustrating to get so little in every episode.
I hated that when, like, Goku died and he's going down that trail in the clouds on the dragon's back.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, like, 8 episodes of him doing that, and right. I was like, come on, man!
Well, he's walking on the rainbow road to, like,
and it's like,
wherever
dude,
he
just
needs to go.
Get it figured out. Like, just go to a different spot.
So, good show, but I felt like
frustrating
it was a
elements.
Bit, yeah. A little
I think because that. I should have been thinking of another...
Well, I think this was a good segment. I think we covered it.
I think we're probably pretty good for now. We're going to take a break, and then we'll come back after another word from our sponsor. Hello, this is Corey from Film Narc, and I'm here to talk to you about one of our brand new sponsors. Our new sponsor is Hattractive. It is a series of hats made by a company that are made to build confidence, make you feel a little bit sexier, a little more handsome, more pretty, depending on the gender. It is something new. A lot of scientists researched it, and 1 out of 100 scientists say that it does have some qualities to it that make it happen. I happen to have one here today. Just put it on, and then instantly you should be able to feel a little bit more confident, feel a little bit more attractive, feel like maybe people notice you a little more. I'm starting to feel like if I went out like this, I would be noticed more. So... feeling pretty good to me. So be sure to check out Hattractive. They have a variety of sizes and colors depending on your head size or even personality. So if you have more of a joyous personality, you'd want to get a complementing one, which they have like darker blues. So that way you may attract people who may be generally sad by your hat. But then because of your happy personality, you'll be able to transition them to a lighter mood. There's a variety of uses depending on their color scale. They have a color scale on their site that you can look at with over 600 colors to transition between moods. So be sure to check it out. Go to hattractive.com and place your order today. Right now they have a deal where you can get 3 and you'll get 40% off, which makes it $745 for 3 of Hattractive's attractive hats. Thank you.
This is such a foreboding sound.
I know, right?
For scene selections.
I know it is. I wish I had some Christmas music. We could just sing a Christmas
song. I'm gonna get plenty of Christmas
music. So you could
YouTube it. I don't need any more.
Yeah. This was actually going to be for the trivia thing, but oh well.
Oh.
It's fine. So, we're entering scene selections where we picked our top 5 favorite Christmas movies. We are counting down from there.
Yep, Christmas movies.
Okay, so do you want me to start it?
Honorable mention.
Honorable mention? I would say honorable mention Christmas with the Cranks. With Tim Allen, it was actually kind of a dopey, cheesy Christmas movie, but it actually has some pretty good laughs in it. There's a scene where Tim Allen gets fake tanned and Botox, and he's trying to eat with a numb face. It's really funny. But
a lot of those Tim Allen Christmas movies are really good. My honorable mention, I have 3. One of them is Elf, which is like, you know, your
idea. Wow, I thought they'd be on your top 5.
I did too, but there's so many classic Christmas movies, and I just feel like it hasn't stood the test of time yet. It is a really good Christmas movie, and very funny, but it just hasn't really... It doesn't have that... When I watch a holiday movie, I want it to be wrapped up in my childhood, because Christmas is never as magical as it is when you actually think Santa Claus exists, and you're like that young and innocent. So, Elf, and then I have a couple of like movies that it would be cool to include them in the best Christmas movies, but they're not really you don't think of them as Christmas movies, which is Die Hard, which totally takes place during Christmas, and Rocky actually takes place, a fair amount of it takes place during Christmas. Those are just really good movies that happen to have Christmas going on. So I didn't include them in my list because they're not really about Christmas. They're about something totally separate during Christmas. So, but I just thought that would be interesting. What's your number five?
My number five would probably be Elf. I think it's captured that Christmas, like, as soon as you watch it, you're like, we're watching this every year. It's one of those Christmas movies. Which is very rare now with Christmas movies, because there's been a slew each year. There always is. And I think it was able to capture that right away, which was really cool.
It's really difficult.
So I had that feel.
It's by far the most recent movie that I think a lot of people watch every year during Christmas. Oh, I know. I don't think I have this as my list at all. Yeah, but Jim Carrey, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Mm-hmm. Our family watches that every year. But it's a recent movie that has already gotten that plant of, like, we watch this every Christmas. Very funny, very good. Mm-hmm. Just the whole tone of the movie is perfect for Christmas and watching with your family. Very fun, funny.
So what would your official number five be?
My official number five is...
I'll Be Home for Christmas.
That's yours?
I was actually putting that in at four.
Why?
It's actually a really good Christmas movie.
I don't even know that movie.
It's Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Oh, serious? Oh, yeah. I've seen that. Oh my god.
It's on Netflix.
What about the one with, like, the Mary-Kate?
It's a good kids Christmas movie that you can watch with the family, and it's entertaining, and it's got a really good message.
My number five is White Christmas. Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye.
Yeah.
Man, I love Danny Kaye. He's great in that movie. It's a musical, great singing, great dancing.
I think I know what your number one
There's
is.
A lot
Would
of
an honorable
humor.
Mention be Bad Santa?
It could be.
Yeah. I'd say that was good.
That's definitely a fun one because it doesn't follow.
It's a grown up. Yeah.
And it doesn't follow the same kind of tropes that a lot of Christmas movies do. Yeah, my number five is White Christmas. I just think that's an amazing movie, and it's definitely a classic, and I love it. And I kind of give it credit for making the whole idea of a White Christmas so exciting.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't that excited about a White Christmas until I watched that movie. And just the idea of, if it's snowing on Christmas. I've only had a couple in my lifetime because we don't get a lot of snow in this area this time of year. But I've had it a couple times and I've always been super excited.
Yeah. Ryan, would you have a number five that you'd want to throw in there?
I thought I already did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'll
Be Home for Christmas? Yeah.
Okay, well, that was going to be my four. I'll Be Home for Christmas. Oh, just because I think it's a great family movie. It's something you can put on with kids and enjoy it. It's got a good message. It's one of those,
Disney
cheesiness.
Christmas family movies. Like, I feel like our family.
Just wait, dude. I'm throwing it down in a minute.
I just feel like we had so many Christmas movies that we would watch that I couldn't fit them all.
No, No, that's how I was, too.
I just don't know how my top three are.
I have two sets of Christmas movies, and I only picked one out of those two sets because they're all made pretty much by the same company, and I didn't just want to fill it with.
I definitely had that with the Focus on the Family movies.
I'm trying to jump between different genres and different styles.
I have my top four.
Okay, what's your top four? Well, did I give my
what's
number
your four?
Yeah.
My number four is Christmas Vacation.
That's four?
Dude.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Dude, just wait until you hear 3, 2, and 1, okay?
I think I know what your one's going to be.
You probably do. Christmas Vacation, that's a great movie. Chevy Chase, it's hilarious.
Dude, that's like my number one.
Well, you know, you'll hear my number, like, remember I took this as, like, nostalgia, and these are movies that, like, Christmas Vacation is a great movie, but it doesn't, like... I don't think of Christmas necessarily when I think of that movie like I do with the other movies on my list.
Oh my God.
Like, a lot of these movies on my list I only watch during Christmas or, like, you know, I always think of Christmas.
So
Christmas Vacation is a really good movie, but I don't necessarily watch it only during Christmas.
So my number four, let me try to remember.
I'm not going to say anything about Christmas Vacation because it's farther down on my list and I'm going to save it for when I talk about it. Then.
Yeah.
No, go ahead.
So, I'm trying to, Santa Claus.
The Tim
Allen.
Yeah.
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 That's a really good one.
I'm glad you have that one.
How big of a jerk
he
is
on the list.
Like, Tim Allen is amazing in that movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he does a really good job. The comedy's on point.
Yeah. Tim Allen, dude, he's still great. I've been excited to see him, see more of him.
They can't see the baby on the camera.
Yeah, so all they know is that you said such cute cheeks.
So they either think you're talking about Tim Allen or me, because you're
They did see her when, you're calming her down.
Okay.
His baby's smiling.
She's right here, and she's being precious.
So we're on number threes.
Yeah.
Number threes. My number three, I might switch my two or three. No, I'm not. My number three would be The Year Without a Santa Claus. It was made by Rankin Bass. That's the one I chose out of all of them. So it's like that stop motion kind of in the fashion of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Really?
All those types. But Year Without a Santa Claus I chose because it has the most memorable moments for me besides Rudolph. And that's just like kind of a cheesy go-to I decided not to go with. Because it has, first of all, the Snow Miser. How cool is the Snow Miser? And I did not mean that as a pun.
I never saw this one.
Dude, are you kidding me? He's got the "I'm Mr. White Christmas."
Is that from that? Oh my gosh!
I thought that was just the snowman. Frosty the Snowman.
I have one of those movies on my list, but it's a different one. So I'm glad.
I believe that should be Year Without a Santa Claus.
Okay.
I think it's the same company. Frosty's
like Focus Christmas on the Family.
No, I may be confusing movies. That may be a different movie. It's not Frosty the Snowman.
No. It's not the main four, which were Little Drummer Boy, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and
No, I think they're in The Year Without a Santa Claus. And Frosty the Snowman. But there's also a scene where Santa goes down in disguise like a regular person, but it's still like all red and Christmas colors, and he's got his beard. And he goes in with his family, and he's talking to the kid about, oh, you should believe in Santa. And he sings a song, played by Mickey Rooney, who does all the Santa voices except for Rudolph. He sings a song, and it shows the kid asleep in his bed, and Santa walking in and, like, turning and staring at him while he's sleeping with a straight face. And the kid wakes up and looks at him, and then he goes... And then smiles at him, and it's super creepy. And then after the Santos, or whatever he says his name is, leaves... he's like, I'll see you guys later. And they're like, the dad and the kid are standing in the doorway, and he takes off sideways, not down their sidewalk, through some bushes, hops on the back of a reindeer, and flies off into the sky. That's awesome. The kid looks to his dad and goes, hey, Dad, I think that was Santa Claus. And the dad's like, well, maybe, son. I'd believe anything right now. And it's like, evidence shows... irrefutable proof that is Santa Claus.
When you take into effect the flying reindeer.
Yeah, and the guy in red with the white beard.
Okay, he's got some pictures.
Yep, that's the Snow Miser and Heat Miser.
Dude, that's the exact same. That's Heat Miser?
Yeah.
That's Air Meister Meisterburger. Burger Meister Meisterburger.
Yeah.
I've never seen that one. That's crazy.
It's a good one.
That was your number three?
Three, yep.
My number three is A Christmas Story.
Oh,
Ralphie, you'll shoot your eye out. Just classic Christmas, man.
Dude, that's my number two.
Nice.
See, that one's been on my list because it's gotten way too overplayed for me.
Really?
Yeah,
it's become too much.
I love the way his dad cusses and all the little... Like, when his friend's mom... Like, you can hear her on the phone when she's like, guess what my son said? She said... he said he heard it from your son, and you can hear the mom on the other phone like, What? And you can hear like the kid like, no, I'm sorry, Mom, what did I do? It's so funny. Or when he has that little flashback of getting soap poisoning, like, I just remember being a kid and thinking all those things. And they hit those notes so well in that
movie. Okay, so for the reason why that is my number two, I'll at least watch it one time.
Every year.
But, I mean, it's because it's constantly on that it's just like, dude, come on. Like, play it a couple times throughout the weekend. Not every day. All day, for the entire weekend.
Yeah, for like the whole week.
It's like, hey, you missed the 12 o'clock showing, so we'll have it at 3. And then we'll have it at 5. And then we'll have it at 7.
I watch it, like, I don't watch a lot of TV, like, on, like, I watch a ton of TV. I just watch it when I'm in control of it, like Netflix, things like that. So, most everything that I watch specifically for a purpose, like, I want to watch that. But A Christmas Story is one of those things where I haven't watched it yet this Christmas, but I want to.
Yeah.
It's just quintessential Christmas movie for me, so that's my number three. That's your number two. Do you have a number three?
Home Alone.
Nice.
Oh, Home Alone is a great one.
How did Home Alone not be? Oh my gosh!
You're wearing the damn sweater.
Isn't on my list. Oh man. Wow. Like,
yeah, Home Alone by far one of my favorite movies.
One or two.
One.
All
right.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. Two. Nice. Two. It's memorable for me. But one of, I mean, it's the original.
Right. I think I remember liking two better when I was a kid.
I always liked two better.
Yeah.
But, no, that's a great one. Great story. Yeah. For me, number two.
I can't believe I forgot.
Let's pretend this is a mic. Jack Frost, the horror movie. Mic drop.
I know. See, I know you love that movie. We
watch it every year,
and it is a. I mean, it's actually pretty
serial
fun.
Killer gets melted by some chemical, goes into the snow, and becomes a serial killer snowman.
Yeah,
it is so awesome and classic. Just is great it, movie. Sequel. Sucks,
and it is. But, yeah, it's definitely a Christmas movie.
Yep, 100%.
All during Christmas. Yeah, I'm kind of excited to see Krampus.
Krampus, yeah. I feel like that'll be making my top five.
It looks fun.
It looks so good. It's made by the director who did Trick or Treat, the one where they did the three stories on Halloween. It was a newer Trick or Treat. But yeah, that was an extremely good movie, and apparently this
is number
up
two.
With the same style. That was my number two.
My number two is Santa Claus is Coming to Town with Kris Kringle and Air Burgermeister.
A little winter warlock.
I would have thought you were
a penguin named Topper for some reason.
Yes, Topper. I
felt like you'd be a Miracle on 34th Street kind of guy.
No, I've only seen that movie like once.
The second one, not the original.
It's okay. If he chooses for his first movie what I think he's going to choose for his first movie, it'll fall in line.
I'm pretty sure it will be. I know you know that how I feel about the movie.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure you still haven't seen it, which is just
so
crap.
My number two, you guys had already said, but with that being said, like, the only reason why it's so high on the list is because the
Christmas Vacation?
Story. Yeah. A Christmas Story.
Oh, okay.
Christmas Vacation is my top.
Wow.
But A Christmas Story, I always think of it as a movie you watch on Christmas Day. After all the festivities are done. It's just a good movie.
Mm.
But that being said, like, if I saw it, I wouldn't be like, hey, you guys want to watch a Christmas story?
Because it's just a Christmas movie.
Well, yeah, but I mean, whenever I think of it, how Corey was putting that, it's so overplayed, which is absolutely true.
Mm. Right, but that's part of why it's near the top of your list.
Right, like, if
Christmas time, everybody's seen it, and it's, you know, I mean, it's called A Christmas Story, for crying out loud. Yeah.
I know we do this show in multiple countries and multiple places, but every year when we finally get home from being out on the road, and we have our Christmases, like, the one thing that we deal with being finally back in Washington State is that we don't get snow. So, like, in that movie, like, we usually get rainy Christmases, so, I mean, what are you going to do outside? Everyone's with their families. You might as well watch TV. So then you just kind of get the family together, watch at least one movie.
Crap tons of people go to the theater on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And that's always surprising.
My sister and I have done that one year.
Yeah, it's funny because you go out on Christmas, you don't expect to run into anybody, but if you go to a theater, it's just packed.
Yeah.
And it's, I remember
nothing
we
else
went
is
to,
open.
I th- like, back when Avatar came out, we went to Avatar, like, either day after Christmas or Christmas Day. And I remember thinking, there's not going to be anyone there. It's Christmas Day. And there was everybody there. It was wild. So,
round of ones.
Top Christmas story. I mean, top Christmas movie. I'm stupid.
Christmas Vacation. Exactly where it should be.
So yours is number one as well.
Absolutely number one. Christmas Vacation. Watch it every year. Have to, or it's not
Corey.
Christmas.
Yeah, it's
Corey.
For me.
See you at the bottom.
Yep. Something had to hit. Something had to break the window. Something had to break the stereo. And why is the carpet all wet, Todd?
I don't know, Margo. Oh, why is the carpet wet, Todd? Yeah. Oh, my
gosh. Hey, Griswold. Where are you going to put that tree? Bend over and I'll show you. How dare you talk to me that way? I wasn't talking to you.
I wasn't talking to you, yeah.
Yep. Oh, and then when the lights don't work, and then they're like, and the dad's like, oh, it's beautiful, Clark. And the girl's like, you worked really hard on it, Grandpa. And he's like, so do washing machines.
Yeah, that's a great line.
That's like RV.
I love when they're like,
fall in love with it when I take it home with us next month.
Yeah, I love it when they're like, does she want to say Grace? And she's like, Grace, oh, she died 3 years ago.
The blessing.
Yeah. Everything about that movie is just classic. It's so good.
I like his
Christmas.
What is that?
After the cat blows up.
When he has his blowout.
Yeah.
And he's just like, and then just starts like kicking his ornaments.
Santa Claus is going to come down here and find the jolliest bunch of a-holes this side of the nut house. Oh, man. Just everything about that movie is so classic. Oh, it's just so great.
Yeah, maybe 3 wasn't high enough. Or 4. Did I actually have it as 4? I did. Maybe 4 wasn't high enough. I should have had it a little higher on my list.
Yeah, you should.
Well, what's your number one?
Total mistake.
It's a wonderful life. Dude, this movie not only is the greatest Christmas movie, it's one of the greatest movies. I think it's so amazing. Jimmy Stewart is on point. It is, this is why this movie means so much to me. And why it's so important. I think everyone should watch it every Christmas. Because it puts you in I still cry when I watch this movie, and I've seen it at least 20, at least 20 or 30 times right around there. It puts you in a place where you're thankful just to be alive, you know? And I love that anyone who has friends is... No man is a failure who has friends. That's, like, the quote that it ends on. Mm. And just, like, that's the exact state of mind you want to be in before Christmas, because it makes you thankful for everything you receive and everything you have. You're like, I'm happy just to be alive, so the fact that I'm getting all these gifts is just that much better. And so, yeah, I love... It's a Wonderful Life. I think it's an amazing movie, and I think everyone should watch it every year.
And okay, so I understand with where you're going with that. Me and my family have never watched that movie. I know what it is. Yeah. That's the one where it's like every time a bell. Is that the name? Okay, yeah. So I know what it is.
It wasn't as big of a movie. Yeah, it wasn't as big of a movie for you guys as it was for me.
Right, like
which obviously that's gonna affect. The way, you know, how I have
and again, like, that movie has been around for decades. So, like, I mean, you clearly know that it's a very stapled movie for that genre that it's in. And the actors that are in it are incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I understand where you come from. I usually watch, we usually watch just the types of movies that we've been doing with this 5. Like, we never watched... My parents were never into let's watch these timeless classics.
Yeah, they were more like, this is
a what's going to shut our kids up.
Yeah. Yeah, it was always a big deal in our house, that movie, and we would actually sit down as a family and watch that movie during Christmas time.
Yeah.
The only other movie we did that with other than A Christmas Story was and we do it with Elf now. Is all the claymation ones.
Yeah.
Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Little Drummer Boy. Although we don't watch that one as much. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Frosty the Snowman, all the classics.
Yeah.
Rudolph and Frosty.
But you can't put all 4 of those on the list.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. That's why I only chose one.
Yeah. I only chose one as well. But I can't believe you chose one. I'd never heard of it. Christmas movies. If you haven't seen any of those, definitely watch them.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd be surprised if you hadn't seen
them. National Lampoon's A Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
You gotta watch it.
Yep, so that'll pretty much wrap it up for our show today. Thank you guys for watching it.
Special thanks to Ryan.
Mom. Yeah, thanks for coming down.
Yes,
first guest.
They're gonna be in Detroit come January 17th, so try to look for the tickets. They're gonna be on StubHub.
Yep, we'll be performing live.
So definitely try to come and check them out. It was a pleasure for you guys to let me come on your show.
It was a pleasure for you guys to let me come on your show. It was.
I mean, it was a pleasure for me.
Thank you for putting that out.
Our pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
All right. See you next time.
Milk was a bad choice.